Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Or speak, Lord, your servant hears. To hear is to listen, to pay attention, to heed. In other words, listen. Listen, God is calling through the word, inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort, and joy. Listen. Do we hear well, even with hearing aids or with impairments? What is it that gets in the way of our hearing well when God is repeatedly making the call? What we hear in the story of Samuel is God isn't a once and done, but God is going to make sure that whatever is impeding our hearing or our ability to listen well, he's going to keep coming to us, keep dialing our number, if you will, calling us until we eventually say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." To listen is to heed. God wants to get our attention so that we can go to work. In other words, the call not only creates the gift of faith and the necessary response, but the call from God means that God wants us to pass the call onto others as well. Like Jesus went to Galilee and he found Philip. And what do those who are found do? They are in the found and finding business. And so we are in the called and calling business. Caller ID. Do we recognize who's calling? Imagine you're watching a movie, it's about halfway over, and all of a sudden the smoke alarm and the fire alarms go off, and your friend says, "We got to get out of here. That means it's a fire in here." And you say, "Well, but I don't see any smoke. And we're only halfway through the movie. So let's just relax. Let's just chill out and watch the movie. And then when it's over, we can check out and see if there's anything serious about those alarms going off." How foolish. And yet there are things in life that keep us from listening well. When I'm around small children, for example, I oftentimes will say, "You're not listening to me." Well, they can hear words that are coming out of a mouth and going into an ear, but they don't always listen. Because when we speak something and we say, "We want you to listen carefully to what we're about to say," the intent is what? That they're going to do something. Go to work and not simply ignore what we're saying. When I was a pastor out in the Tacoma, Washington area, I was in my office one day and a staff member by the name of Rich Nace came in and said, "Pastor, have you got a minute? I need to talk to you about something." And Rich was the choir director, about 25 people in the choir, phenomenal choir, perhaps the best choir in all of Tacoma. And I thought, "Well, what's going on?" And I said, "Rich, have a seat. What do you want to talk about?" And then he said, "I just need somebody to vent with." And I said, "Well, okay, go ahead and vent." He said, "Well, it happened a couple of nights ago at the choir practice." He said, "We're working on a piece of music for Lent. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the composition, somebody's cell phone went off with one of those annoying ringtones." And I said, "Well, was it because the person was expecting an important call? I mean, was it an emergency?" He said, "No." He said, "The worst part of all was she took the phone out of her purse and starts having this casual conversation in the middle of a piece, and everybody has to stop, and everyone is held hostage just waiting for her to finish her chat." I said, "Who was this?" He said, "Well, she's done it before." I said, "What'd you do?" Here's the thing. This gal, she's a pastor's kid. And her husband's father was a missionary pastor in Madagascar. You see, there's times that we would think that some people would get it, right? I said, "I'm sure that she didn't mean to disrespect, I'm sure that it wasn't an intentional thing on her part, but you see, even if it's not intentional, sometimes it happens because we don't know how to deal with the call. I mean, there's a reason why I don't have my cell phone on me. Because even though I mute it, or even if I shut it off, you know what I'm always worried about? That all of a sudden I'm going to be in here in the middle of preaching or reading a scripture lesson or something or distributing the sacrament, it's going to go off. Even when I've shut it off or put it on mute, I'm still concerned about the interruption. Do you have caller ID? Do you have an answering machine? Do you just use the portable cell phones, or do you have landlines? I mean, when it comes to calling, we know it's important, but how do we screen our calls? Because at home, you're probably like me, you get these robocalls, or during an election year, you get all kinds of people that want to get your opinion about the candidates, right? It will only take you a couple of minutes, and 15 minutes later, I thought you said this was only going to take a couple of minutes. What I like to do is when I'm at home and I get a call, I mean, we've got caller ID, so I can see, do I recognize the number, the name, the location? Sometimes I don't, but I answer it anyway, just in case it might be important or necessary, because our landline is also Emmanuel's phone number. This past week, that happened. It was a good thing that I answered the phone, because it was a good friend from down at St. John's of Villmar, down by Green, Iowa, and about a service coming up in January down there. So I was glad that I didn't just ignore it. There are other times that I'll answer the phone and I can tell that it's a telemarketer. So I don't mind if I've got the time just to play with them a little bit. You know, kind of like pretend phones. And so what I end up doing is I say, well, this is Pastor Dave Stephenson of Emmanuel Lutheran Church. How can I help you? And there's usually this awkward pause because what they're really trying to do is, well, is your house still for sale? Or would you like me to sell it for you? Or, you know, well, is Mr. Stephenson there? I said, well, this is Pastor Dave Stephenson of Emmanuel Lutheran. Can I help you? Well, maybe I have the wrong number. Are we getting the call? And if we do get the call, what does it mean? How do we respond to it? Do you have caller ID? And when the voice of God is speaking to you, do you recognize it as a word from God? And a word that God doesn't want you to just simply put in one ear and pass out the other, but to pay attention to it, to heed it in such a way that it actually applies to one's life, that it goes to work. In our first lesson for tonight, 1 Samuel chapter 3, we hear a familiar story. And you know the rest of that story, I assume. You can't just start with 1 Samuel 3. You have to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 1. It's the day of the judges. And Eli is the judge, and Eli is the priest. And Shiloh is where the temple and the Ark of the Covenant is. And so the people are going up there at least once a year so that they can make their necessary sacrifices and worship. And Elkanah goes up there with his two wives and his kids. And you say to yourself, wait a minute, two wives? Yeah, you see, not everybody in the Bible listens to God's word. So Elkanah has a wife named Peninnah and another named Hannah. And Peninnah is fertile myrtle, but Hannah is barren, and it's breaking her heart. And so she ends up going into the house of the Lord, and she's pouring out in anguish. Her lips are moving, but no words are coming out. And Eli, the priest, is there. He watches her, and he goes over and chastises her and said, how dare you come into the Lord's house drunk? Shame on you. And then she has to clarify that she's not drunk, that she hasn't been drinking, that she's in fact pouring out her heart to the Lord, that she's praying that the Lord would open her womb and give her a son. And here's what she has promised. Lord, if you give me a son, he'll be consecrated from the womb, and he'll be doing ministry for you his whole life. What you give me, I will give back to you completely. And so once Eli realizes that he's made a mistake, that she hasn't been drinking, that she's praying, he says, "May the Lord answer your prayer in accordance with his will. May the Lord answer your prayer." And he does. And her womb is opened, and she has Samuel. And then when he's weaned, she brings him, just like she's promised, at probably about the age of 3, brings him to the temple so that he can do ministry and be an assistant for Eli, the priest. Every year she goes up and she has some new clothes for him because he's growing. He's growing up. And meanwhile, you also know that Eli has a couple of boys that are in the family business. And they're also priests. They're born into the priesthood. But we also know that they are governed by disgusting behavior, shameless behavior. Hophni and Phinehas. They are regularly having sex with the young gals who are servants of the temple. And they are taking the sacrifices and they're skimming off the top and taking the best cuts of beef for themselves. They are disrespecting the Lord and his house. Now, what's a dad going to do? Well, Eli had a conversation with his boys, and he said, "You realize that this is pretty serious stuff, and there are some sins that you can't have atonement for. When you profane the name of the Lord like this, there will be judgment." But he didn't stop them. You see, Hophni and Phinehas remind us that there are people who are ministering for a paycheck and not because of the call. And they are profaning the name of the Lord. So what's God going to do? Well, God's going to call Samuel and give him a job. He's just a kid. We don't know exactly how old. But we do know that Eli is old, and he's not seeing very well. And we do know that according to 1 Samuel 3, that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. And we do know that Samuel had not yet met the Lord. So he goes to bed, and Eli is in another room sleeping. And all of a sudden, the call comes. "Samuel, Samuel!" And what does he do? He runs to Eli because that's what he's there for, to assist the aging priest. And Eli says, "I didn't call you. Go to bed." A second time God calls, "Samuel, Samuel!" And what does he do? He goes running to Eli and says, "I'm here. What do you need? Here I am." And Eli says, "I told you to go to bed. I didn't call you." A third time it happens, the same thing. And finally, Eli, the priest, figures it out. Who's calling? The Lord is calling. And he is the mentor to this young apprentice. And he says, "Samuel, it's the Lord." And the next time you hear his voice, say, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." To hear is to heed, to pay attention, to go to work, to really listen. Listen, God is calling through the word inviting, promising forgiveness, comfort, joy. And so God comes the fourth time, and Samuel says, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And the Lord reveals to Samuel what is about to happen to the house of Eli, that Hophni and Phinehas are going to both die on the same day, that this can't continue. This disregard for the holiness of the Lord and his word and his house. Well, the next day, Eli says, "So what's the word? Do you think Samuel wanted to speak that hard word to his mentor? Probably not. But it was Eli who said, "You tell me everything the Lord told you. Don't pull any punches. Don't sugarcoat it. Give it to me straight. And if you don't, the Lord will punish you even worse than the words that he gave you for others." So he gives it to Eli. And what does Eli say? This man who talked to his boys about their inappropriate sinning and bad behavior, but didn't stop them. He says, "It is the Lord. Let him do as it seems good to him. It is the Lord." Well, the Lord calls, and the Lord commissions, and the Lord has given us ears to hear so that we can go to work and serve him fully and faithfully in a walk of holiness. So are we listening? Think about our readings for tonight. Does God have to keep coming our way because the first, second, and third time we haven't figured it out? But he's persistent, you know, when he calls. "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. It is the Lord. Here I am." Well, what about the psalm? Psalm 139 is one of my favorite. I bet you love it too. No escape. No place to hide. You can run, but you can't hide from God. He knows everything. He hears everything. He sees everything. And he consecrated you before you were in the womb. And he knit you together in your mother's womb to be his holy, sacred, beloved child. What about Paul's letter to the church at Corinth? Are we listening? Paul says, "All things are lawful." You got that right. But not all things are helpful. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Shun sexual immorality. Have nothing to do with it. Flee from it. Don't make a prostitute out of Jesus. Some people would say, "Well, it's just sex." Well, that's not what the Bible says. Because inappropriate sex is making a prostitute out of Jesus. And Paul will not tolerate that. Paul says, "Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have from God? You're not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in the body." And in our gospel reading, Nathanael is impressed because Jesus saw him under the fig tree. Are we listening? You'll see greater things than this. You'll see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. It's not Jacob's ladder. Jesus is the gate, the open door, the only path that leads to the Father. He finds us so that having been found, we can go and find others. He calls us. He gives us a word. It's a real call. It's not just a fake telephone. It's not just for pretend or for play. This is serious business. He calls you and says, "Your sins are forgiven. The blood of Jesus atones for all your sins." He says, "I have a place for you in heaven." He says, "You are my child, bought with a price." Jesus comes and speaks to us, and we hear his call. And then we listen and we obey. Calling cards from the one who identifies himself. Caller ID. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God calls you. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Amen.